All right, to Tom Brady now and the much-anticipated decision that lies before him. So the Chargers are rumored to be in the running for the six-time Super Bowl champ if he doesn't reach a deal with the Patriots. Recently retired Chargers great Antonio Gates weighed in saying it would be a great sight to see in L.A. Nick, you've been on this from the start, that the Chargers would be a great landing spot for Tom Brady. Still feel that way?
It's the only place that makes sense other than New England. It is the only place that you can say, all right, can you conceive of Tom Brady playing with those weapons? Absolutely. They'd be the best weapons he's had in a long time. The best weapons he had since the Patriots were running that deadly, that very potent two tight end offense that they had with Gronk and Aaron Hernandez. They the best as far as core of skill position guys maybe in total they've had since 07. So that checks that box. I also think, and I don't mean to get into Tom Brady's personal life, but I feel like we've got a window to it because of the Tom versus time, and because Giselle is also a public figure.
They're both public figures.
Right, or else otherwise I wouldn't feel comfortable saying this. And Giselle's made it clear, she's been in Tom's ear for a long time about retirement. And if your partner has been saying for a long time, I don't want you to do this anymore, and you have to go to them and say, not only am I going to keep doing it, but we're moving. I think the where we're moving to has a big impact on if the response is the hell we are or okay. And I feel like with LA, even though I think her preference is stay with the Pats or just retire, you have nothing more to prove, and they don't really appreciate you in New England the way they should. Her response to LA is so different than Indianapolis, Tampa, Tennessee, these other places, because she has to worry about her career and her own superstardom as well. And by the way, they got a home there. And by the way, Los Angeles is a gorgeous place. I was lucky enough to live there for 16 months. It ain't bad. What people are saying about it, it's true if you've never lived in Southern California. So to me, it checks every box. And oh yeah, by the way, the Chargers need a reason for people to buy tickets to their new stadium. Right now, they don't have it. If you're doing a power rankings of interest in LA after Hollywood, Lakers, Dodgers, USC football, the Rams, how far down the list before you get to the Chargers? For all those reasons, to me, all signs all year have been pointing, if he leaves, the Chargers are the destination that makes the most sense.
I think you're absolutely right about it, checking every box. You're talking about the home in L.A., the family situation. You're talking about the organization. You're also talking about the skill set of the players that he will have around him, which is exactly what they really wanted in New England. Even with all that being said, I still think that Tom finds his way back to the Patriots. And here's the reason why. I think that Bill Belichick and that ownership group, they understand they're going to have to put players around a quarterback no matter who that quarterback is. Even though, let's just say you go get a rookie guy or a backup guy, Stidham. Even if you have him there, you're going to have to put players around him. Why wouldn't you want to go back to the guy that has been the greatest player in your franchise history if you're going to have to fill those positions already anyway? And so I think that if I'm the Patriots, I absolutely want Tom Brady back. And if I'm Tom Brady, I don't know that changing a team, changing an entire organization, going outside of what I've been comfortable with for the last 19 seasons is the way to go in your 20th year when your skill set has eroded just a little bit.
What do we know is woven into Tom Brady's DNA more than anything else? Winning. It's what he knows. It's what he does. You ask yourself, will the Chargers give him a chance to actually get back to the Super Bowl? Well, you know the Patriots will always give you a chance.
Oh, I don't know that I agree with that. If he thinks he's still excellent, and I'm sure he thinks he is, I think he looks at this year as an organizational failure more than a Tom Brady failure. And everyone talks, just quickly here, we talk about the Patriots adding more weapons for him. I think they will address the tight end position. That was a huge miss. I don't know how you have the greatest tight end ever arguably walk away and you do nothing about it. But does it seem very Belichickian? 2 years ago, he spends a first-round pick on a running back. Last year, he spends a first-round pick on a wide receiver. This year, he spends a second-round pick to acquire a wide receiver. He's now going to spend more capital, either draft or salary cap dollars, to get more offensive weapons when it had been a decade since he spent a first-round pick on a running back. It had been 25 years since he spent a first-round pick on a wide receiver. It would just seem very unpatriot-like and un-Belichick-like to this offseason, even if they bring Brady back, be like, and by the way, we're trading for Odell, so now we're going to have all... Right. It doesn't seem like that's their history.
Unpatriotic?
Maybe that's what I should have said. I like it. Everybody has to do taxes, and yet not everybody feels comfortable doing taxes. That doesn't seem right, especially when you consider all the amazing things these same people accomplish every day of their lives. TurboTax believes that with the right tools and encouragement, people can be good at anything, even taxes. And to help people feel more comfortable with the tax process, TurboTax Live gives you personal access to experienced CPAs and EAs who are there for you, even on nights and weekends. They're happy to go through your return with you line by line to double check that you've done everything right so you can be sure to get your best possible refund and feel 100% confident in your taxes. TurboTax, all people are tax people.
On to the Chiefs now, and to steal a page out of my guy Nick's playbook, I'm old enough to remember a time when the Chiefs stormed back from 24-0 to beat the Texans last week.
Old enough to remember last time they were in the Super Bowl, too, Jenna.
It's true, Patrick. That's actually not true. That's not true at all.
She didn't get it at first.
No, and I
Sorry,
take offense
go ahead.
To
My
it.
Bad.
Patrick Mahomes was as dialed in as he's been all season long, leading his guys to a 51-31 blowout. You're proud of yourself, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I liked it.
But despite putting Kansas City on his back, listen to what he had to say when asked about leadership on this team.
I think that's the great thing about this team is that I'm not the only leader on this team. There's leaders all across the board, every single position group, all around the team, offense, defense, and special teams. But what I rely on is just going out there and competing. No matter what the score is, winning or losing, I'm going to give my best effort on every single play. That's how I've been. That's how I was raised. And that's how this team kind of flows.
All right, Brian, does Patrick Mahomes need to play like the MVP for the Chiefs to beat Tennessee this weekend?
Yeah, I think Tennessee's a very good team. I think they're solid. I think they are aggressive defensively. But I don't think that Patrick Mahomes has to play like an MVP to beat them. They have a bunch of weapons offensively. And so if Travis Kelce catches a five-yard pass, he can take it 75. Same thing with Tyreek Hill and really the whole list of receivers and playmakers that you have. So those types of passes, because of their ability at those skill positions, you don't have to be special from Patrick Mahomes, who I think really has to play like an MVP or more so coach like an MVP is Steve Spagnuolo. How does he turn this into a quarterback game? How does he turn it into Patrick Mahomes versus Ryan Tannehill? If he can do that, then that changes the entire tempo of the game. That's going to take Derrick Henry out of the game completely. And so if you're Steve Spagnuolo, the only thing that you're worried about is trying to find a way to stop the running game of the Tennessee Titans. And I'm not so worried about Patrick Mahomes trying to play like the MVP. I just think he has to be good. And I think the guys around him are good enough to beat this Tennessee Titan team.
We've never seen, never in Patrick Mahomes' NFL career, him when fully healthy play a bad game. So let's just assume he's going to, we've seen him have bad starts. Hell, the AFC Championship game last year, they didn't score a point for the first half of the game. We've seen him have slow starts. We've seen him obviously make some mistakes. But as far as at the end of the game, look at his numbers, look at what he did. The only time in his career where he had, it's like, wait, what happened there? It was when he was dealing with that ankle injury early in the season and he couldn't plant on his throws and couldn't get out on the edges where he's so dangerous. So I'm going to take it as a given he's going to play a good game. I don't think he needs the type of performance that he had in the second half against New England in last year's AFC Championship game in the comeback against Tennessee or against the Texans to beat Tennessee. I agree with Brian. I think let's just assume Patrick Mahomes plays an average Patrick Mahomes game. What else do you need? You just need to make sure Derrick Henry is not going to become what he is on pace to become, which is the greatest running back ever. Like, people are wondering why I'm so confident in the Chiefs' ability to win this game. A lot of it is because I think Derrick Henry is an excellent player. Right now, the best running back in football. But he is playing like he is the greatest running back ever. And I just don't think that is sustainable over a full month of football, all in must-win games. Now, if he does, to get back to your question, then yeah, then Patrick's going to have to take advantage of every possession, every no three and outs, every third down, because you're going to have limited possessions, because Tennessee will find a way to manufacture at least 24, if not 28 points. But I don't I don't think that's how this game goes. I think Patrick Mahomes can play a fine game by his standards. 270 yards, two touchdowns, no picks, and the Chiefs can still be in great shape. It should be noted, though, Brian, the last time these two teams played, even though the Chiefs lost, Patrick Mahomes did play like an MVP. He threw for 450, three touchdowns, 120 passer rating. He was sensational, and Tennessee is going to have to greatly adjust what they do defensively to try to account for that. And I think they look at it as our only real way to stop Patrick Mahomes is to keep him off the field. And that's where the Derrick Henry factor comes in. I just don't think Derrick Henry is going to average 185 yards for the playoffs against the opponents and the defenses that he's going to have gone up against.
The question if you're Tennessee and really for the Chiefs is if he gets 150, now are you trying to sell out to try to stop the run? And then he throws the ball over top of your head with Ryan Tannehill, who's been accurate as a passer. He hasn't put up a bunch of yards because they haven't needed him to.
Right. Are you confident Tannehill can go out there and do that?
I think he can, but again, we haven't seen it happen because they haven't needed to do that.
Yeah.
That means the question is, can you stop Derrick Henry? And if you can, now it's the quarterback game that I think the Chiefs wanted to turn into Patrick Mahomes, the MVP type of candidate, versus Ryan Tannehill, who doesn't have a bunch of experience in the playoffs.
No matter what, it's still going to go through Patrick Mahomes.
Well, listen,
Andy Reid's still going to say, go out and win the game for us. It's going to be on his arm.
If Patrick plays poorly.
Right.
Luckily, he never plays poorly,
right.
So I don't think that'll be a problem.
Back here, first things first, now joined by former All-Pro running back Eddie George.
Eddie.
Thanks for hanging with us, Eddie.
You just said right before we went on the air that this is the time of year you miss it the most.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you right now that the Kansas City Chiefs could use you right now. You use a short yardage running back. I saw it when you walked in. It looks like you're in the exact shape you were in that picture right there.
Not quite. Maybe a pound or two over
okay,
there.
Yeah. But, you
know, 3% body fat.
Maybe a pound.
Yeah, running a 4.4. Still good. Go.
All right, Eddie, let's talk about your former team, the Titans, as they get ready to face the Chiefs. Your 10,000 rushing yards, Eddie, with Tennessee, still a franchise record, despite the fact that it looked like Derrick Henry ran for 10,000 rushing yards in last week against the Ravens. You were unstoppable then. Henry has been unstoppable now. So who does Derrick Henry remind Andy Reid of? Take a listen.
The guy played right there, Eddie. I mean, he and Eddie are similar size. You know, this kid might be even bigger than Eddie, but both of them were big, strong backs that could run fast. And you look at him and you go, man, they'd be good tight ends too. So, yeah, he's a heck of a player. Good kid, too. He's a really quality kid. So, yeah, he loves to play the game.
Eddie, feel good to get the kudos from Andy Reid?
Yeah, it feels good to get the love a little bit. I guess I'm considered one of the greatest running backs now, right?
Because
he said that he was playing like one of the greatest running backs last season.
Yeah, the run he's on is totally unprecedented. And that's
question.
What I looked it up this morning. The most carries you ever had in a three-game stretch was 100, which is an immense amount.
Yep.
He's at 96 through the last three games, and the numbers are eye-popping, 6 yards per carry. What does his body feel like right now?
I'm pretty sure he's probably beat up, tired. I mean, you got to think about, you know, how he ended off the year against Houston. I think he had 35 carries, over 20 yards against the Texans, and then goes up into New England. So you almost figure that his body is starting to wear down. However, he's a guy that's been durable, never been hurt. He had a little bit of a hamstring a few weeks ago, but I think that's okay now. But he takes care of his body. He's in the weight room every single day after the game, so forth. So he's doing all the necessary things to be okay. And now is not the time to think about, well, should we pull back on his carries? No, you got to put the foot pedal to the metal because you never know when you're going to be back in the situation again. You got to utilize this guy now while he has the hot hand.
One of the things that all teams that have faced the Titans have said, especially the last half of the season, is we're going to put 8-9 guys in the box and we're going to try to stop the run.
Yeah.
None of those teams have been successful. That's the same exact thing that teams said against you. We're going to put 8 or 9 guys in the box. How is it that they continue to be successful week in and week out against 8-9 guys in the box trying to stop the run primarily?
It's imposing your will. You know, when you got a guy that's 6'4", 250 pounds, and that can take it the distance, and that's learned to run in between the tackles and punish defenders, especially small linebackers, and they'll lean on you, that's what you have to do. It's demoralizing for a defense. When you can take a team's strength and turn it into a weakness, the New England Patriots, they were supposed to stop the run, turn that into a weakness. The Baltimore Ravens had the personnel up front. was supposed to be able to stop him as well. Turn that into a weakness. So when you can do that, it's demoralizing for a defense to say, hey, you know what? You bring that guy in the box, number 22 will take care of him. You either run him over or take it the distance. It has been phenomenal to watch that.
We're lucky enough to have Brian Westbrook, one of the best running backs of his era, on the show often. And there are certain running backs I watch today, and I'm like, man, it reminds me a lot of B. Christian McCaffrey is one of them, for instance. And he can sap the will of an opponent in a way similar to you, but very different than Derrick Henry. We're now joined by another one of the greatest running backs of the era, to Andy Reid's comparison. You guys, similar stylistically, not just because you play for the same organization.
B will just snap your ACL.
Right. I mean, exactly right.
He'll snap your ACL.
As opposed to go through your chest. Right. What I'm curious is, with your style, at what point in the game and how would you know when you could feel, they don't want this anymore. They are trying to avoid the contact that at this point I am trying to distribute.
So my goal was to treat the first and second quarter like body blows, if you will. The gas tank, like a boxing match. You know, hit them in the first quarter, you know, in the middle, hard three, hard four. Let them know this is how it's going to be for the rest of the day. So when the third and fourth quarters came, when it was time for me to really lay the hammer, I was getting the ball a little bit more. That's when the bigger runs were going to happen. So that's kind of how I approached the game, was I was going to use my size to my advantage and just wear on teams. And that's why I really focused on my conditioning so I can be the best conditioned athlete. So I knew that by that 35th carry that I would be just as strong as the first one. And that was the illusion I tried to set
up. So Derrick Henry's on this unprecedented run.
Yes.
And he's healthy, and they're going to put the pedal on, and they're going to push him and all of it.
Mm-hmm.
If by some chance he is unable to be as successful, do they have another path to beating the Chiefs?
I believe they do. Tannehill has the ability. He has the arm talent to put it into the tight window.
He's played well this year.
He's played extremely well. And A.J. Brown is a receiver that nobody's really talking about. He can stretch the field. And the reason why they haven't used him, because they didn't have to. When your running back is having that much success, you don't have to throw the ball 35 times a game. They said, listen, manage the game. Don't make mistakes, hand it off to 22. But when it comes time to throw that fade to Jonnu Smith in the end zone or throw it over the top to one of your receivers, it'll be there. He can get it done. So I think in this game coming up, they're going to have to be a little bit more balanced because Spags is going to have something special. Listen, 22 is not going to beat us. He can't. I mean, he just can't do it. So they're going to have to load up the line of scrimmage, win up front, and force Tannehill to beat you.
We know what the Titans want to do on offense. They want to run the football down the throat. Mm-hmm. But what can they do defensively to stop what they'll face with Patrick Mahomes and that group of track athletes on the Chiefs side?
Well, if I had the answer, I wouldn't be sitting here right now. But I'll tell you what, Patrick Mahomes and that offense really impressed me, because when you're down 24 points or 20 points in the first quarter and it looked like things were about to implode on them at home, like, how can they mentally get over that? But to outscore them 51-7 thereafter, and they want to say, okay, we gave them the short field and so forth, they made mistakes, but they still had to execute. Those touchdowns still could have turned into three points, and not gain the momentum. So from a mental perspective, that team is quite dangerous. So I'm not sure how, when they get on and they're not dropping balls, it's going to be a tough task for any team to stop that explosive offense.
So I'm not a superstitious person, but I do believe that if people believe in a superstition, it can almost have an effect. Like, mm-hmm. I think that if you, I don't know if there's such a thing as team of destiny, but if enough people believe they actually are, I think their performance might be enhanced. They might play better.
Yes.
The reason I bring it up is the year you guys made the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. it all started on one of the wildest plays in NFL history, the Music City Miracle. And I know you guys ultimately came, unfortunately, a yard short of the Super Bowl, but you guys you guys played some of your best football, including in that Super Bowl you had all year after. In that playoff game, in the Music City Miracle, you didn't play your guys' best game of the year against Buffalo. The reason I bring it up is, what type of week-to-week, I hate to use the term momentum, does Kansas City have after the way they beat Houston because they were down 24-0 and because they then felt unstoppable for 2.5 quarters?
And that's the key for me, is that you do pick up that momentum. When you experience, like with the Music City Miracle, we've already experienced what it was like to lose in that situation. It felt like somebody died prior to that play. The ball goes to the uprights. Like, okay, 16 seconds less. Okay, let's try to get the ball into Steve McNair's hands. Let him do some magic, get us some field goal reading, something. But I'm thinking on the sideline, like, man, this is my season's over, and it hurts. But when the play happens, like, oh, my God, we did it, and it succeeded. You know, we passed the test. You know, they went to review, and everything was perfect. And now we're going to on to see the Indianapolis Colts. So that momentum helped us. So after what I saw last week, when that could have gone south real quickly for Kansas City, the ability for them to come back and the fashion they did it, they're a dangerous team from a psychological standpoint.
But the Titans, I think, have so much momentum coming into this. The Titans beat a great Patriots team. Then they beat a great Ravens team. No one really thought they could.
No.
I think they've got the momentum. Exactly.
What do you think about the Titans track? Beat the GOAT. Beat the MVP at their place. So they come in with a ton of momentum. So that's what makes this a fascinating matchup to see whose will is going to outdo who. So that's what makes it a wonderful AFC championship game.
You played in a bunch of playoff games, but I think the experience in the regular season is hugely different from the experience in the playoffs. And then you go to the NFC or AFC championship game, it's a bit different as well. What's the experience going to be like for Ryan Tannehill playing in his first AFC championship game versus Patrick Mahomes, who was just in the game last year?
Yeah. For Ryan, I think it's going to be treating it like any other game. I mean, he's been playing his first playoff game really since the start of Houston. That's when it all started, to be honest with you, the regular season. They had to get in the tournament, and they were able to do that. And I think the experience that he has now going on the road to New England, going on the road to Baltimore, only helps him that much more. I don't think there's any more added pressure. Now all he has to do is go out there and perform, not turn the ball over and get rattled, but if he can protect the football and convert on third downs, make plays with his legs, I think he can do a phenomenal job for him.
The AFC South is a warm weather and a dome division. You obviously played in Houston and in Nashville. Mm-hmm. This weekend's game, the weather's not supposed to be, it's not supposed to be rain or snow, but I looked, it's supposed to be around 18 degrees around kickoff.
What? No sleeves.
Does that affect, maybe it didn't affect you.
Listen, won't affect that team.
Okay.
They've been there. They played. They beat Kansas City in Kansas City a couple years ago with Marcus Mariota.
Marcus Mariota threw a touchdown pass to himself.
No sleeve weather. So that weather's out the window.
Okay.
It's a matter of will at this point in time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Running backs don't wear sleeves. Nah. The toughest guys on the field.
No sleeves.
I think
no
Greg
sleeves.
Jennings is the only guy that came on set and said it was too cold. Yeah. I really wanted.
Well, he's a receiver. That's what you expect out of him.
Warm and sunny.
All right, Eddie, I know you're working with the Connor Group talking about entrepreneurship. Why is business such a passion project for you?
Well, after I finished playing the game of football, I had to figure out what was next for me. And business was one of those avenues. I went back and got my master's in business at Kellogg School of Business. Started my own wealth management firm. And I'm here in town just to talk about, you know, my journey, the what not to do, what not to invest in.
Really?
And to really create fundamentals, things that you should look at when thinking about the next steps after football in terms of commentating and using that platform to do speaking engagements and other enterprises, how to leverage your brand and so forth. So I'm just here to tell you all my mistakes.
Go ahead.
Can I ask who wins the game?
Which one? This one?
The Patriots game? The Patriots game.
Oh,
yeah.
See, now you
Titans.
Got Tom
on
the
game. I'm sorry, you said the GOAT.
You're a Pats fan.
I was.
Yeah. You're
still
a little salty about that, aren't you?
No, I'm not. I'm over it.
I like the Titans in this one. I think it'll be, if they keep it close, I like them to win by a field goal.
If I invest some of Jenna's enormous amount of money in your firm, will you come back on the show the next time?
I'll come back tomorrow.
Okay.
I'll come back next week.
All right,
we'll see y'all in Miami. How y'all want to do it?
Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Great job, man. Congrats on everything. Congrats on everything going on.
Thank you, my man. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for always spending my money.
I'm investing it. I'm investing. It's going to grow.
Investment.
Enormous growth.
Much more first things first right after this.
My money's all tied up in football futures.
Yes, it is.
I do like the Titans to cover, though.
B-Dub, little in or out?
Let's do it.
Derrick Henry has been running over everybody this postseason. It is no secret that the Titans will feed him early and they'll feed him often in Kansas City. But, Brian, are you in or are you out on Henry rushing for more than 150 yards against the Chiefs?
I'm out. I think Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs, is going to do all that he can to sell out and try to stop the run and make sure this turns into a quarterback game. That means Ryan Tannehill is going to have to throw the football down the field versus Patrick Mahomes. I don't think Derrick Henry has over 150 yards.
I'm in. I think that the difference here between this week and last week and between this team and a lot of teams is they'll stay with the running game. And even if they get behind, they know what a weapon Derrick Henry is, and they'll continue to give him opportunities to make something happen, and he will against the 26th-ranked run defense.
I think Derrick Henry is sensational, and he has made himself a boatload of money this year, and good for him. He's not the greatest running back in NFL history, but that's now the standard in which he's being discussed, because it's like over under 100, a buck 50? 150 yards? I got to go under.
Yeah, but in today's NFL, 150 isn't really that much.
Well, it's not a lot.
It's like the old 100.
Okay, fair enough. But still, I think the Titans are going to be down big early. They're going to have to abandon it to a degree. I'm under for Derrick Henry's buck 50.
Hey, the folks over at Pro Football Focus released an article naming Carson Wentz the best quarterback of the 2016 draft class. Dak was second. Jared Goff was third. Brian, you in or out on Wentz being the best quarterback from 2016?
I'm in. I think Carson has all the tools. He's big. He's strong. He's athletic. He can get outside of the pocket. He can make all the throws. And I think these last quarter of the season, even though they didn't make a long run in the playoffs, they added confidence to his game. I think he'll come back next year much better than he has been this previous 4 years.
Yeah, I'm out. I think it's got to be Dak. When you look at it, every single statistic favors Dak, including health and including wins. So, and where he was drafted, value. So value, health, wins, every statistic, you got to give the nod to Dak.
I'm in on Wentz. The value is about to go out the window this weekend. And while you're correct over the totality of the careers, those numbers, it changes a lot if you talk about post-rookie season, where Wentz was not very good and where Dak was sensational. I think Pro Football Focus got this exactly right. I think it's Wentz here, Dak right behind him, and I think Goff is substantially beneath both of them. And I think Goff is going to be a huge problem for the Rams moving forward, but I'm in. I think Wentz is the best quarterback of the class.
And soon all three will have been paid as soon as they get Dak on board. Former Cowboys head coach Jason Garrett is reportedly interviewing to be the offensive coordinator for the New York Giants. Daniel Jones showed some peaks and valleys in his rookie year, but does appear to have a bright future. Brian, you in or out on Jones taking a leap in year two if Garrett is his OC?
You know, I'm in, but I'm not only in just because Jason Garrett. I think that Daniel Jones seems to be a student of the game, similar to Eli, similar to Peyton Manning. They obviously had the same coach down there. And so I think that he'll come back even better his second year versus his first. A lot of learning goes on in that first year for rookie quarterbacks. What can you do? What can't you do? Interceptions were an issue here. I think that he'll be much better in the second year.
Yeah, I agree with you. Regardless of who the offensive coordinator is, he seems to have traits that are going to lend themselves to him continuing to make a lot of progress. And that's what you really like about what you've heard about this player, is that his character lends itself to a lot of growth regardless of who's there.
Yeah, I'm out. And it has less to do with Jason Garrett and more to do about the player that you guys seem a lot more optimistic about than I am. The Giants, who they needed to hire, was the guy who a decade ago taught Tiki Barber not to fumble the football. Is Daniel Jones the most fumbling guy I've ever seen fumble? And until he gets that worked out, I don't care how big and tall and strong he is. He's got to take care of the football. He was unable to do that his rookie season. I don't know that Jason Garrett fixes that, so I am out.
All right, to Tom Brady now. Recently retired Chargers great Antonio Gates was asked about Brady joining the team, and he said it would be a great sight to see him in L.A. Brian, you in or out on the Chargers being Super Bowl contenders if they acquire Tom Brady?
I'm out. And I think the world of Tom Brady and what he's been able to do over the course of his 19 seasons in the NFL. But I've also seen him this season, and it's just not the same guy. I don't know that he has to be as special if he went to the Chargers because they have more playmakers. I just don't know that he has the ability to ratchet it up to get to the Super Bowl if he goes out there.
Yeah, I thought Phillip Rivers and Antonio Gates were buddies. I'd be bummed if my buddy was talking about someone else coming to take my job. But when you look at again, what they did this season, the main difference is Phillip Rivers threw some more interceptions. But across the board, they were very similar players. And you have to go to a new system with a new coaching staff. How much would they adapt to what Tom wants to do? And how much would they want Tom to adapt to what they want to do? And if you can't get it done with Phillip Rivers, you know, what makes you think you're getting him done with Tom Brady?
So you're out? You're out on Brady making him a Super Bowl contender?
Going to San Diego?
Yeah, to Los Angeles, either
well,
one.
Well, first of all, he's not gonna, so he's gonna be in, oh yeah.
Yeah, no problem.
No, he's gonna be in San Diego.
That's right.
Relaxing when he takes a break from OTAs in New England.
I can't believe you're out. I mean, Our lunch really had a big effect on your football opinions yesterday, Coach.
Yeah, and my wallet. No, he ordered more caviar than any person I've ever seen. You shouldn't gamble with me.
Hey, at least you guys went out for lunch. Shouldn't gamble with me, Coach.
Unbelievable.
I'm out as well. You were about to defend Tom Brady. We don't have time for that. I'm out. Come on. Coach is right. Brady's not substantially better than Phillip Rivers, and with Phillip Rivers, they couldn't even make the playoffs.
You need to put it in the context of the new system.
New system, coaching staff. He's got to learn West Coast time confuses people. So many things would be up in the air. I'm out.
Nothing matters. Insert player succeeds.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern.